Greetings from California. They're in an interesting spot, too. Everybody in California is crazy, too. You realize that, right? L.A.? Yeah, they're insane. So, yeah, it's... Well, we have... right now, the schools are shut down, which I guess they shut down here, too. But Faith and Paula are getting ready. They're going to do online classes. So it's teaching the kids at home. So it should be interesting over the next few weeks at least. The church is going to stop for a while. They're doing streaming too, Stephen's Church. They talked to the authorities, and they really wanted them to not meet. They're like, we can order you to, but we really would ask you not to. So that's what they're doing for a while. My mother has an interesting decision. Hi, Mom. Does she watch the streaming of me or does she watch Stephen? Me, right? Me? Yeah. We'll see. I'll call later. She'd have to get up awful early. Please? No. Oh, yes. Yes, that will be it. I haven't talked much to Dad because you can't slow him down. He goes constantly. So when I talk to him, it's usually, hey, you know about this? And get this. His mail keeps on coming to me. So grab this for me or get this or have you heard this? And just... Quick. So, but I think they're doing fine. Everybody seems to be doing fine. Texana can't find groceries, so which is interesting. Be in prayer for my brother-in-law, Mike. He's works in the ER, and he doesn't have a mask. He's a tech, and the people stole masks from the hospital, and they've stolen the disinfectants and stuff. So it's priority-wise, he doesn't have one, which makes things a little difficult sometimes. So be in prayer for our medical workers, too, because they're going to get stressed. That's a little bit of stress there. The food thing's interesting. I was at Target yesterday picking up a couple things I had forgotten to pick up with Bianca. Was it yesterday? A couple days ago. We grabbed some kitty litter. My pharmacist was looking at the kitty litter, and he said, well, that's a good substitute. I looked at him, and he said, I gotcha. I gotcha. And I asked, I said, why are they buying the toilet paper? He says, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But that's what they're doing. So some people are doing that. Yeah, it's magical powers. We, a few weeks ago, I said, you know, if we actually get quarantined for a couple weeks, what do we want to eat? And so we went out and bought the things we like for a couple weeks. It's interesting because we got a lot of beans and rice coming from California. We went the other day. All the pasta is gone. So everybody from the Italian side from here, I guess, is getting the pasta. We got the beans and rice. So it's an interesting thing. I also told her to pick up the essentials a couple weeks ago. I said, make sure you get brown sugar and the butter and the Ghirardelli chocolate chips. Because if I'm stuck in the house for 2 weeks... We're having chocolate chip cookies, right? Homemade chocolate chip. Yes. And I like to make them too. It's one of the few things I can bake. But she didn't find butter. Sadly. Yeah. I went and the other day we went out again looking for butter. There's no butter to be found in Rochester. We are in trouble. So last night I was on the phone with Jim, and Jim's like, you do realize, you know, we're going to do this streaming and we're going to be meeting in this room, And I was discussing things with him, the trials and tribulations I'm going through, and that I had no butter. And he, with this Christian attitude, said, if you get quarantined, I will find and bring you butter. And that touched me. That was sweet. He would go out of his way to do that. I think it's a good illustration. Jim bringing me butter in quarantine. Does anybody like history? I love history. The early church, I've done a lot of work on that and had a lot of classes. In the early church, there were plagues inside Rome. There are different times where there are plagues in different cities. What the early church did, a lot of the people, when they heard there was a plague in a city, they would go into the city and give the gospel to people and care for those who were sick. Many of them died. I was reading something from the Gospel Coalition. They put out different things, and somebody wrote an article, and he quoted Dionysius. And he says this, most of our brother Christians showed, this is from that time period, and he's writing about what the Christians are doing in the midst of the plague. Most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of the danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ, and with them departed this life serenely happy. For they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. Now, I'm not saying go get infected with the coronavirus. I am saying that's a type of love that's amazing. Caring for one another. What is this type of love? How can we serve like that? If Jim calls me and he's in quarantine and he needs butter, will I go get it for him?
You better go get it.
I better. You're right. Christ says, I came to serve, not to be served. Matthew 20, he says this, it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be greatest among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave the ultimate service. He gave his life. In the Gospel of John, that's where we're going to be for the next few weeks. About halfway through the book, the last half of the book, is the last couple days of Jesus' life. And we get to chapter 13. The disciples are all in the upper room. It's the place of the Last Supper. And Jesus has only a few more hours to be with his disciples. He's about to die. He's about to go to the cross. And he's sitting there in those last few hours, and he decides he's going to teach them. He has a few hours to give them a few different messages that he's stressed throughout his ministry. And one of the things he stresses is, you need to serve each other. You need to love each other. So turn to John 13, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and that's where we'll be this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us Christ, who came to earth and died on the cross for our sins, making the ultimate sacrifice for us. Help us during this time where things are a little bit crazy, that we, as a body of believers, as a church, will show the world your love by loving each other and loving others. Help us to be a testimony showing the hope that God has given us and the love that he shed upon us, and that we would share that with others. This morning, as we go through this passage, please help that you will encourage us and convict us where we need to be convicted. In your name, amen. Amen. So John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his garments and, taking a towel, tied it about his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." Then Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus loved his disciples. These are the 12 men he picked 3 years ago. He spent almost every day constantly with them. Imagine them sitting there waiting there together. They know that the government, the leadership of the Jewish people, are after them. They know that they're trying to kill Jesus. They're being pursued. They're probably a little scared. They're probably also excited. A few days ago, they come into Jerusalem, and people, are huge crowds come and proclaim Jesus the Messiah. And they're thinking, wow, maybe this is it. Maybe a revolution is coming. Maybe the kingdom's coming. And they're sitting there, they're having these conversations. I can imagine Jesus is just in the room with these 12 men. He's talking to them, and they've experienced all these amazing things this week. And they're talking, and I can imagine Jesus listening to their conversation. In fact, in Luke 22, it says that a dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. The conversation was, you know, if he sets up the kingdom, I think I should get this part, and I'm going to be higher than you. And could you imagine that conversation? Judas, you can be treasurer. Peter, we're going to send you off to Samaria. Peter's, no way. That's their conversation. Those are the things they're discussing. And Jesus, I could see him sitting there. And probably for safety, they just have this group in there, and Jesus wants to spend some time with them. But these are his closest friends, and he's listening to this conversation. And I remember in college, I spent 4 years, a lot of it on campus. And if anybody has had that experience, Jonathan, it sounds like Masters may close for a while. A lot of the colleges are. And he's going to be sad. And he's just been there a year. When you spend year after year with fellow students learning, and you have those late nights where you're studying together, and for us, we are studying the Word of God and talking in the dorm room about what God had for us and what was important and what we should do, there's a closeness, a bond that develops. I can't imagine these disciples lived with Jesus and spent year after year training them. And Jesus loves them and cares for them. They're his friends. And he's hearing this conversation. And they come in, and I won't do the Bookman thing. If a few years ago you were here for Dr. Bookman giving a presentation on the last week of Christ, he discusses the layout, and he actually brings someone forward and shows how they would be around the table. We're not doing that. We won't get that close. But basically, it's a very low table, and there's cushions around the table. And they're laying down. They're leaning down, and their feet are out, and everybody can see their feet. They're laying down like that, and they're eating. They're leaning on a... And during the supper, I imagine Jesus is sitting there, looking at them, listening conversation, and looks over. There's all the dirty feet. Why? Nobody washed their feet. What you do when you go into a Jewish household is there's a big jug of water, and there's a little basin there beside it. You dip the water into the basin, and the lowliest servant in the house, the last rank and file, the one you don't want, you know, that can't do anything else, they go, and anybody who comes in, they sit there and wash everybody's feet. It's not a pleasant job. No sidewalks. Bianca was kind of scared when she moved from LA to here. She looked around. Where's the sidewalks? How do you take walks? Well, you walk in the dirt. It's fine. Just dirt. But there, in those days, no sidewalks, and they're walking in sandals. So imagine how dirty and gross your feet are at the end of the day. You don't want that. You especially don't want it if it's sticking out and you're sitting there eating dinner together. 12 guys. Not a pleasant situation. So Jesus is looking at this, and he does something. Takes their conversation, takes everything they're discussing, turns it upside down. Verse 4. This is in the middle of supper. He rose from the supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. I think most of us, if you've grown up in church, you've probably heard this passage preached on multiple times. You've read it multiple times. And I think we miss it, because it becomes something that we've seen or heard so much that it doesn't, the impact of it doesn't get us. Picture this. The president comes to your house. He's having dinner with you. Everybody see President Trump in your house having dinner around the table? And he looks around, after supper. He grabs the dishes. He scrapes everything off himself into the trash can. He goes over and he says, oh, the trash can's full. He takes the trash out. He goes over to the sink and washes the dishes. What would you think? Everybody would get real quiet. Why is the president washing dishes? Why is he taking the trash out? We have people to do that, right? Can't he order a Secret Service to take the trash out? What's going on? I'll take the trash out. He shouldn't be doing that. Jesus is king. Jesus is the Messiah. This is the guy who came in triumph through Jerusalem, crowds cheering him on just a few days ago. Beyond that, and they're getting a glimpse of this, Jesus is God. Jesus is the God of the universe. Jesus said, John 8:58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. John 10:30, I and the Father are one. So the God of the universe is walking around the room cleaning people's dirty feet. And they were arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom. Everybody, I imagine, got really quiet. Ever seen that in the room? When everybody's having a discussion, then maybe a little argument, and then someone starts doing something that's right, and the room gets quiet. Everybody feels kind of bad. This room got quiet. Peter knows something's wrong. He's like, this isn't right. This is not the way it should be. This is not good. Peter was the one who replied when Christ asked him, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So when Christ gets to Peter, Peter goes, Lord, Master, do you wash my feet? Verse 6. Jesus answered him, what am I doing? You do not understand now. What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Peter didn't get it. Why would the king wash someone's feet? Why did Christ come? He came to serve. He came to humble himself and give his life for me. Remember Philippians? We were there a long time. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He came to be the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. We need washed by the blood of the Lamb who died on the cross, taking away our sin. This is the true washing. This is what Jesus was talking about when Peter asked him, why are you doing this? He says, think, Peter. I want you to get this. I know you don't understand. I know you don't get it, but I came to wash. He didn't realize the task Christ had come to complete. And Christ had told him over and over again, I am going to die. And he still didn't get it because Peter wanted the lion. He wanted the king to come in and rule. And Christ said, you can't have that yet because you need saved. You need somebody to deal with that sin. You need the lamb, the sacrifice. Come to seek and save that which was lost. So in Peter, he says no, and this is a no in the strongest possible terms. Is the emphasis here is you are never, ever, 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 ever going to wash me, is what Peter's saying. No way, no how. Christ points out that you don't get it, but you need washed. You don't get why I came. You need my death. You need this to be part of my team. Peter's response, which I think is great, because he didn't get it. And it's hard when you don't get something completely to say, I want to follow you, Lord. Wash all of me. Wash my head, wash my hands, whatever. I'm on board. Don't totally understand. But I need washed. I want to follow you. That needs to be our response. Want to follow you. Even when we don't get it completely. John 13, verse 10. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. He basically said, you're fine, Peter, and there's different interpretations about except for his feet. We won't get into that this morning, but I want to emphasize here, He says, you're clean. You're fine. You're washed by the blood. You're saved. You're clean, but not all of you. He's talking about everybody in the room. For there was someone there who was going to betray him in just a couple hours. There's one who was about to sell him out. There's one who was about to sell him for money. And a few moments probably before this, he had sat down and he washed his feet. Because Judas was still in that room. Have you ever pictured, this picture in your head, Jesus is washing Judas's feet? Imagine, they're all reclining at the table, they're all kind of quiet. He's going around the room one by one, he gets to Judas, sitting in front of him, Jesus knows he's the betrayer. And he's washing his feet. I bet he met his eye. Looked at him. What did Judas do? Bet Judas couldn't look at him. And we don't get it because we don't realize this was the person he had spent 3 years with. When he says he's his friend, this was his friend. He'd had conversations late at night talking about scripture and what this all meant. And he was being betrayed by him. That kind of love and service. You know how hard it is to be nice to someone who's mean to you? I'm done with them. If you mean to me, I want to be done. I don't want to have anything to do with you, right? Just ignore you, you ignore me. You need butter, get it by yourself. Jesus washed his feet. That's love. That's service we don't see. It's hard to do. You get the why here. He just says, I want you to understand something. Verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He is their Lord and master. He is their teacher. They understand his position. They had spent the last 3 years following him around as he was their rabbi. They followed him around, lived with him, saying, this, we're for this. They know his authority. They had seen him command demons, heal the sick, cure the blind, even raise the dead. They were his disciples. They called him Lord. And he says, if me as Lord served in this way, this is what I want you to do. Love in this way. Act like Christ. They needed to serve one another. They needed to love as he loved them. Our call is to love each other as Christ loved us. We must. If I call Jesus up while I'm in quarantine and need butter, he's going to get me some. We've heard this story probably a million times. We can probably talk through the passage. We can discuss the finer points. There's interesting finer points. There's a few theological things that are fascinating and some textual things. That's fun discussion, right? We know this. Look back at verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Do we do them? We need to serve others. Let's show the world. This is an opportunity. It's a little scary. But the coronavirus thing is a huge opportunity as Christians. We can show the world Christ's love. We can love each other as Christ loved us. We can say, how can I help? How can I show you the hope Christ has given me? When you're at work and go, and your attitude can be different. You have a hope. And the reality is, how you respond and how you care and love shows that there's a reality behind that hope. Verse 34 in the same passage. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I'm going to give you a challenge. And I was blessed talking with Jim. I know it's kind of silly because it was the butter thing. Because who needs chocolate chip cookies? I do. If I'm in quarantine, I need chocolate chip cookies. But anyway, thank you. It's a blessing. I have fellow Christians I can call and talk to. And it's a blessing with this church. And this is going to be hard because going to stream streaming some of this. And I know with my brother's church, the same thing. It's amazing, though, the world we live in. We have phones and texting and Skype. We can contact each other. We can share God's love. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Serve one another. And show the world something else, a different response. Right? It's a challenge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to respond correctly as we go through this trial, and help us to be witnesses to the world. Thank you for the salvation you've given us and for loving us this much. Please be with those who are sick and just the fear and the people who are not saved, who do not have that hope that we will be able to share with them that there's nothing to be afraid of. We have you. You're the hope. You give us salvation. Help us to share that salvation can be found in you. And let's just share the gospel with others. Please give us the opportunity and help us to take those opportunities. In your name, amen.